Yeah. I have a fear of not doing what God's called me to do. Does anybody else in this room have that fear? When God has spoken to you and you get caught up in all the minutiae and all the detail and the calling of God in your life gets lost in the midst of that. Also have a fear of getting stuck, of stepping out and nobody's backing me up. Mm-hmm. Nobody's got my back. Not making a difference. I have a fear of faffing.
Go on, explain that.
Well, meetings where we talk round and round and round an issue, and then nothing happens again. That's linked to some of my strengths and weaknesses. And I have a fear of being criticised and misunderstood mm-hmm. as a leader.
So just a few fears for you.
Just
there,
a few
yeah.
fears. That's why I'm here today.
That's great. Thomas, great to have you as part of what we're doing. Do you want to just tell us a little bit how you're involved in leadership and have been?
Hi, everyone. I am involved in leadership. I lead a church in West Edinburgh called Stenhouse Baptist Church, which is not a church plant, but kind of we're treating it like that. It's a replant, and we're looking to sort of get mission and discipleship going in an unchurched area in a council estate in Edinburgh, which is great. Mm-hmm. Loving that. Strengths and weaknesses?
That saved me asking the question. Okay. Yeah. You're that kind of leadership person. Let's get you. No faffing. Just let's get on with it.
Fear of faffing. Let's get on with it. So I suppose I love getting alongside people. I just love forming new friendships, new relationships. I love building team. I love seeing people flourish and trying my best to serve people and sort of bring out their giftings and help them live out their calling. That doesn't always happen, but that's me at my best. Yeah. And weakness-wise, can be very indecisive if I'm left to my own devices. So I need conversation partners all the time. I'm planting a church, kind of the only staff member of the church. I work by myself quite a bit, so that's quite a challenge and often leads to procrastination and a lack of productivity. So you wouldn't want to work with me, Pam.
Hey, that's okay. Well, thanks for that. What then about fears for you? What fears have assailed you in leadership?
Yeah, I think just from a very human level, we're not here to muck about. I might as well just say. I suppose a big one would be that people decide not to follow me. Like, you know, we want people to follow Jesus, but Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And I have a big fear that people just would suss me out. Mm-hmm. Be like, oh, no, actually, we decided not to. A big fear would be that what we're trying to do in Stenhouse and church planting just doesn't work, just falls flat on its face. And, you know, most of us leading in church context, it's a pretty public thing to do. And so the fear of being, you know, known for being somebody that tried something that didn't work. Mm-hmm. Another thing, just because let's keep going. Another thing would be that I don't lead people to Christ through my own relationship with God, and that I focus too much on leading the church without actually just getting involved in everyday people's lives and sharing my faith with them. So that's a big fear and something that dominates my thoughts quite a lot.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Thomas. Do you want to...
What are yours?
Actually, do you want to hear from me?
Martin.
Hey.
It would be great to hear a little bit about your strengths and weaknesses and just some of your
So I think in leadership, I think I'm a reasonably persuasive person. I can,
yes.
You know, I can sort of talk about stuff and, you know, kind of often win people's sense. This could be a good way to go, yeah. Which is on the whole a good thing. It can be a dangerous thing because sometimes I can believe in myself too much and not really notice what's happening in other people. But I think that's kind of a strength. I think a weakness for me is I'm not a great communicator always with people I'm working with, which I think is partly to do with my personality type. So I tend to assume that everyone knows what's in here without me articulating that much. I under-communicate anyways. You obviously know people like that. And I that's a real weakness for me that I have to work on quite a lot. Yeah.
Did you just point at your husband from
stage? I did.
Okay.
But he's pointing at me.
We're happy with that. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah.
Let me tell you about my fears. Yeah, I think you've said some of the good things. I'm afraid that people won't come with me, that we'll have a plan that will say, yeah, this is what we're going to do, and then I'll find I'm flying solo and no one really, really kind of believed in it enough to pay the price to come and to do the project or do the thing. That's a big fear. I think authenticity in as someone who's really trying to follow Jesus and lead other people to follow him, it's that authenticity question, is my inner life up to speed with my outer teaching or kind of claims and commitments? That worries me a lot, and I'm worried that somehow things might get out of balance and my words might be bigger than my inner reality. So I think that's something that is a fear for me. I fear a lot letting people down, and I definitely fear making a fool of myself in front of other people. So that's some of our stuff, but I hope it's making you think what your answers to that question would be, because we'd like you just to spend 3 or 4 minutes chatting to one or two people around you. This really, try not to create a group of more than three people. The room doesn't really lend itself to that anyway. And we'll put the same questions on the screen and just have a little chat together about some of these things, and at least get onto leadership fears, but maybe just introduce yourself and say how you're involved in leadership. So let's just say we'll get 5 minutes for doing that now, okay? Okay, let me interrupt your conversation. I've got a feeling that you could probably do quite a good seminar now just talking together in your twos and threes and learn a huge amount, because I suspect there's a lot more knowledge in the room than there is on the platform. But anyway, we're going to try and work together. Just on this question of what do you fear as a leader, can we just listen to one or two things that might have come up in your conversation or in your mind as you've been speaking? What sort of things are there?
Pushing your own agenda.
Uh-huh. Failure, getting it wrong, yeah.
And as part of failure, failing the church and messing up what the Lord was doing until you got in the way.
Failing the church and messing up what the Lord was doing until you got in the way. Yeah, I know that, yeah. Any others? Yeah.
Mine is kind of my fear in the whole of life, really, is people won't like me.
Yeah. I know. And you... Yeah, that's great. Okay, so fear, if everyone didn't hear, fear that that people won't like you. Big fear. A couple of others? Yeah?
Getting so uptight and not allowing space for the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. One other? Oh. If you didn't hear, yeah, I just reintroduced myself to someone I already met yesterday. I mean, it's a hazard of being a Christian, isn't it? Not being a leader, in fact, probably being a human being. Okay, I think we've established that actually, although this session is boldly called Fearless Leaders, we're actually quite fearful leaders, that it goes with the territory. And Pam, are you going to come and move us on a little bit with this now? I think this next part, the impact of our fears.
Thanks, Martin. Thank you so much for sharing some of these fears. We've got quite a lot of material that you'll see as we progress through this seminar, explaining our own fears. But this little section, we're going to look at what impact do our fears have on us, on others, and on our churches. So I want you to think for a moment, you're not sitting in Motherwell Civic Centre. You're back at your church. You're in the context of where you lead. Okay? Are you imagining it? What impact do our fears have on us in that context? On others around us, other leaders, other teams, other ministries, and on our churches at large? We've been talking a lot about being fearless, haven't we, here at Assembly? And there are 366 references in the Bible that say something like this: do not be afraid, be strong and courageous. One for every day of the year, plus a leap year. So in this little section, we're going to look at the nitty-gritty of how you and I and Martin and Thomas function in our leadership. How can our fears paralyze us, discourage us, make us passive? Has anyone else ever been just to that point that they become quite passive and paralyzed? Is that just me? No? And even ineffective. Brené Brown says this: who we are is how we lead. Who we are is how we lead. That internal part of us, that core part where we're connected with God, out of that, out of those streams of living water, flows how you and I lead. So, not functioning as the leader that God has made me to be or you to be affects me. I'm not being my true self. I'm not being that person that God created that is fearfully and wonderfully made. What about in others? When I step back and I don't choose to be daring or courageous, and I don't live out of the values that I talk about, and I'm silent about the hard things, that happens to me sometimes, believe it or not. When I'm not clear and I'm vague, when there's an elephant in the room and we all know it's there, but none of us mention it. Or what about on our churches where we go stuck, we're stuck, or we go round and round the same mountain where things don't change, where the momentum and the vision that God has given us as a church family begins to fade. So this picture behind me on the screen is that picture of the iceberg principle. And I don't know if many of you have noticed this before, but 2/3 of that iceberg is our lives. That is who we are. And 2/3 of it is submerged below the surface. And have you noticed that there's a part of it that's poking up above the surface? That's the bit of me, it's the bit of you that you want everyone else to see. It's the place that we lead from. But have you also noticed that the part that's submerged bobs up to the surface sometimes? In my life, it sometimes comes out as passion. In other moments, it might come out of me just going quite quiet, which is very strange for me. Or it may come out in anger or rage. Maybe someone said something and I'm provoked into a reaction. Where it's maybe stepping in something in my past that's negative, but it's very active, but it's underneath the surface. So, what has this looked like in my life? What impact has my fears had on me, on others around, and the churches I've been involved in? Well, you might have noticed I'm the only woman up here today. And I wanted just to, for a moment, address this issue of being a woman in leadership. And a part of my journey that I've been on, I've been very blessed to have been released and affirmed by many godly men in my life. My father, my husband, pastors down through the years who saw something in me. And they weren't frightened of it. And they released it and they called it out. They saw all the other stuff as well. All the stuff that God still had to work on. But they saw something of gold in me. And that's not to mention the incredible women mentors that have been in my life. But this verse behind me from Proverbs 29:25, if I could encapsulate the whole thing that I need to battle as a woman in leadership, it's this. Fear of man or woman will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And also, in Psalm 68, I love Psalm 68, it begins with, may God arise and may his enemies be scattered. And in verse 11, it says, the Lord announces the word, and women who proclaim it are a mighty throng. Is there any mighty women out there of God? Yeah. And as I've progressed in leadership, I've become aware of something that I want to, some of you might have heard of this before, but I read an amazing book called Let Your Life Speak. And in that book by Parker Palmer, he says this. He says this: a leader is someone with the power to project either shadow or light. A good leader is intensely aware of the interplay of inner shadow and light. Lest the act of leadership do more harm than good. Does anybody out there agree with that? Yeah? We have power within us, we have influence within us, but it can be for good or not so good. And in my journey in leadership, I think I became an elder in QP at the age of 30, and I was already in leadership in my workplace and in parachurch organisations, but the Lord began to show me my shadow side. And what it really was for me as a woman was that my shadow, if you like, is actually about the power of my personality. The Lord showed me that the power of my personality, sometimes I could think I was too much. And if you speak to any woman who's in leadership, they'll either have the fear they're too much or they're not enough. They seem to be these two polar things. I'm too much or I'm not enough. And yet in that, Pete Scazzario goes on to say, your shadow is the accumulation of untamed emotions, less than pure motives and thoughts that, while largely unconscious, strongly influence and shape your behaviours. It is the damaged but mostly hidden version of who you are. And what I'm learning on this journey, and I'm continuing to learn, is that my shadow is part of me. And I need to keep letting God come to the parts of me that sometimes I don't see, the bits that are submerged, that come out in leadership meetings, they come out in the context, the crucible of leadership. Because it's in that place that Christ is formed in me. It's in that place that Christ is formed in you. We don't need to be perfect to lead, do we? No. None of us would be doing it otherwise. So we're just going to move on in a little minute, and just I'm going to come over to Martin and Thomas and just begin to ask them about their experiences of what their fears and the impact of their fears on them, on others, and in their churches. And they might even share a little bit about their shadow. We'll see if they're up for it. Okay, so I'll maybe start with Thomas. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Good. That was the right answer. So Thomas, in terms of what I've just been sharing about the impact of our fears, what would you say has been the main ways that the impact of your fears on yourself, on others, and the churches you've been involved in leadership in?
Sure. I think I'm still just discovering a lot of this as I go, and it's a journey. I think even just thinking at the moment, something that I've heard lots of times before, but as a church leader for the first time in my life, lots of people have told me that the as you lead your church, your organization, your own strengths and weaknesses will come out right, in other people, in your organization, in the culture that you set. And that is terrifying. That's completely terrifying, but it's also a really beautiful thing as well. But that means that I have to embrace this stuff. Otherwise, I can't lead the people around me. And so just to give some examples, I guess, I'm somebody who's primarily quite pastoral in terms of my gift set, which means that I'll often, in a positive way, try to walk at the sort of the pace of the slowest person, make sure everyone's okay, make sure everybody's fine. So in the context of how I lead in the church, when it comes to mission, when it comes to even things like spiritual gifts, if I'm a bit scared of the mess that it might cause of stepping out and actually taking God at his word, and actually just let's take prayer for example, and actually not just managing prayer but actually allowing God to speak and actually allowing the Holy Spirit to set the temperature of where we are as a church, that's going to be messy at times. And actually for me, if I'm dictated by fear, I will avoid it, or probably what I do quite a lot of the time is I manage it. or we've got a 7-minute section for prayer at the end of the evening. And it's 8:30. Oh, thanks everyone for coming. Okay, see you later. That was good, wasn't it? Wasn't that good? Wasn't that good? Please affirm me. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't that good?
Nervous laughter.
Yeah, yeah. That was good, wasn't it? Wasn't that good? That was good. And actually, that doesn't really allow God to speak. And that has an impact on actually how we make disciples in our church. Mm-hmm. And that has an impact on the culture of the church that people are coming into, mm-hmm. you know. And actually, that really withholds the good gifts that God has prepared for people to see them led into freedom in their life.
Yeah.
And you can basically insert exactly the same things for mission and for actual, you know, anything to do with courage and fear. You know, to take ground, we need to step out as leaders. But when we try and just control the whole situation, we often end up just operating out of our fears and our shadow sides come to the forefront. And that happens with me occasionally. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. What about yourself, Martin?
Well, I was thinking of a couple of ways that kind of fears impact me and other people. Mm-hmm. I think one of my fears is that it's that kind of making a fool of myself in front of others, yeah. or maybe just not doing well enough when I'm doing some kind of public presentation or maybe preaching. And so there's a kind of fear in myself that I need to work harder at what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And actually, that can lead to the impact is an overwork, an over-preparation, and a lack of self-care, because I think if only I work harder, mm-hmm. I will be able to defeat the risk, if you like, that I'm afraid of. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I've seen in myself and had to very consciously own and work with. So uh-huh. that's a kind of impact on myself.
Yeah. What about in others?
Yeah, I remember some time ago being in a situation where we decided together as a church in the church meeting that we were going to do the whole kind of small groups in the church very differently. And we'd agreed on that, and that's what we were going to do. And then I heard one or two people saying, oh, we're really not happy with that. And something in me sort of triggered off and thought, oh, I'm afraid of people being unhappy. Mm-hmm. And so I started pedaling back and slowed the whole pace of it. And actually, the impact on the church was confusion, because people thought, and the majority of people thought, we were going forward and doing something. And because of my fear, I actually sowed confusion. Mm-hmm. I think that I've learned by now that I sure should have talked to those people who'd still got reservations, but not changed the pace because of post-event criticism. So I think fear has, to some extent, caused kind of confusion, actually, in the wider church.
Yeah. So I think we could take a bit of time here, actually, just to turn with others around you. What impact do your fears have on you, on others, and on your churches? Let's do it. Get a bit of feedback too, I think. Okay. So just before I hand over to Thomas for the third part of our seminar, how do we deal with our fears? It would be really great just to hear some of these. How our fears impact on us, on others, and on our churches. And I know some people's names. So who would like to just offer something? Listen, it's Amanda, thank you. Yeah, when you just can't get that issue out of your head and drift off and know that rest of the Lord. Yep, it can. Yep. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. But that's creating a fear and anxiety within. Yeah. Oh. Brian? Yeah. It's the reality of walking that out, isn't it? It's the verse I shared. Yes, Andrew? Did you say wobblies? That's a great word, isn't it? We've all had a wobbly or two. Fantastic. Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what Thomas was sharing, wasn't it, about the culture that we create as leaders. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yes, get stuck. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to invite Thomas now to help us deal with all this fear.
Thanks, Pam. So I suppose what Martin started with was a kind of general understanding that leadership is hard. Anybody agree with that? That leadership isn't just supposed to be a Somebody really agrees with it. Yep. it's not for everyone. And actually, you know, we're not just called to do easy things. We're called to do hard things as well. And they cost us our lives. You know, if we're really going for it with Jesus, you know, it's laying down our lives for what he's called us to do. And actually, you know, we read 365 times in Scripture, do not be afraid, but that doesn't always connect with our reality because leadership is hard. And if we want to do stuff that's worthwhile, if we want to break new ground in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to step out, and sometimes it is going to be scary. So this thing that we've been holding in tension for the last couple of days of being fearless doesn't mean the absence of being scared, apprehensive, anxious at times about what God's calling us to do. I just want to have a quick glance at Psalm 73. So if you've got your Bibles with you, please open them up. Psalm 73. It's the psalm of Asaph, who's one of the chief worship leaders of the day. And he says, begins with a declaration, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And then he goes on to say, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And actually, I was quizzed earlier on some of my big fears, and I've got a list longer than my arm. But actually, one of them I didn't mention is actually the fear of other people doing better than me. People who started out exactly the same point as me, with the same education and the same environment, going on to lead churches of 3 million people, and here's me. And, you know, I come up with coping mechanisms. I come up with ways of justifying it. Well, that's all right for them, but I'm doing the real hard work, you know. I'm doing the real stuff. And actually, that's not a healthy fear, is it? And actually, Asaph describes, as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I love the honesty of this prayer, of this worship song. If we're going to do something courageous, if we're going to do something worthwhile, so much of the time we're going to be spending just right on the cusp of feeling like, oh, I'm almost at breaking point. I don't know if this is going to work. Am I in the right path? Should I just be living the easy life? Because those guys over there don't seem to have any sleepless nights at all. And actually, I have, you know, two or three, I'm not going to share that necessarily, but I have the occasional sleepless night, and we all do, because we want to do something worthwhile. However, we're not called to live in FOMO, in fear of missing out. We're called to live in our purpose. And the first thing I want to talk about with fear is acknowledging it. Something that we have tried to model really well up on stage and tried to actually get you guys talking about. And thank you so much for being up for that. Maybe you didn't know that you were going to come and do that today. Is just acknowledging our fears. Not ignoring them. Not suppressing them. Not waving them away with a pithy fridge magnet and hoping that that's going to make everything better, but actually acknowledging them, saying them out loud is so important. What are you scared of? Isolating what actually is going on in the problem, because leadership is hard. And so this is a quote from Pete Scazzaro. I'll use the handheld. Ignoring our emotions is turning our back on reality. Listening to our emotions ushers us into reality, and reality is where we meet God. Emotions are the language of the soul. They are the cry that gives the heart a voice. Pretty amazing little quote there. So acknowledge your fears to yourself in the hidden place, in the quiet place. Make space for God to speak into those fears. So if you are a leader, and as Pam said, most of us here probably are operating in some sort of leadership role, or you're influencing people around you, don't keep it to yourself. Because when you just ignore and suppress your fears, it will kill you. And you will end up leading from this shadow side that Pam has spoken about, and you will end up creating a culture where fear dominates instead of freedom. And actually, this is where we get the chance to put God's promises to the test, that in our weakness, his power is made perfect in us. And so if you're a leader and you don't have that space to actually be honest with people and really share your fears, find that space, make a plan, and address it. For Asaph, I'm not going to do a whole sermon on Psalm 73. It's a well-known psalm. I'm sure we've all come across it before. We'll skip to verse 17, where he says, in fact, I'll go from 16. It says, "When I tried to understand all of this, it was oppressive to me until I entered the sanctuary of God." Until I entered the sanctuary of God. For Asaph, the answer for a lot of this started with worship. Seeing Jesus in light of our fears and anxiety, not leaving them at the door, letting him speak into them, and actually seeing him in his glory, regaining perspective on what really matters. In worship and encounter, we regain our perspective and we begin to see where the enemy has been trying to undermine us, where the enemy has been trying to sow division, where the enemy has been trying to have us live in fear instead of living in freedom. Got one more quote before I go and ask Pam and Martin a little bit about their story. It says, "The more we dare to show our whole trembling self to God, as did the ancients who prayed the Psalms, the more we will be able to sense that God's love, which is perfect love, casts out our fears, purifies our thoughts, and heals our hatred." It's where we create that space for worship, where we glorify, magnify Jesus, that we can actually hear God speaking and addressing the fears that we have. That's just a little bit to get us thinking. There's way more ways that we can address our fears. So, Martin, do you want to kick us off? You shared a little bit earlier about fears that you do have. In your best moments, just share a little bit with us of how you might address those fears and if you've learned anything from any other people in how you do that as well.
Yeah, thanks for that. I was thinking very much about Jesus' words where he says, don't worry about tomorrow because each day has enough trouble of its own. Because I think that somewhere along the line, I've picked up the idea as a Christian that I should kind of go through life with a Zen-like serenity and that's somehow normal Christian life. And actually, I think that does belong to another religion, but it isn't following Jesus. And actually, it seems like experience and walking with Jesus have kind of shown me that fears rise, and then you meet Jesus in, maybe as you say, in worship or in quiet, and that perfect love that he brings casts out fear. And that's just enough for today. And the fears might rise again tomorrow. And that process. So it's part of a rhythm in following Jesus, is feeling fear and then trusting God.
Yeah.
But that's not the end of it. It just happens again and it happens again.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's why Jesus says, frankly, just take it one day at a time. So I think that kind of holding on to Jesus has been really important for me. And if there's one other thing, I would say it's pressing on. You know, where Paul in Philippians 3 says, "I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." I could be paralyzed so many times by fears. I could just not do. I could run away. And I think there's just something very simple about saying, well, yeah, I, like we have done this afternoon, I recognize all the fears, but I'm just going to press on. I love that thing about William Carey, who we're hearing about before. You know, this extraordinary missionary pioneer guy who translates the Bible into 13 languages and launches the modern world mission movement and, you know, the evangelization of South Asia and so much else. And someone asked him kind of, what is the secret of what you do? And he said, "I'm a plodder. I just keep plodding on." And it's that sense, I think, of just pressing on and doing it bit by bit, and just being determined not to be stifled by the fear that is very real. I think that would be really important for me.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And how about you, Pam? What have you learned along the way?
Well, kind of current learning for me, being in a brand new context, new church that Neil and I are leading, coming from a larger team at Queen's Park. So it's kind of like your head. And we've been drawing a lot of strength from the Book of Joshua. And Joshua 3, the Lord says to him, doesn't he, "You've never been this way before." And we've come into leadership at the church at Easton House in a period where it's a massive transition, and the church have never been this way before, but neither have Neil and I. And yet in Joshua 1 and 2, there's a lot of do not be afraid, be strong and courageous. So I think I'm with Martin in that fear actually in leadership is with us pretty much constantly, but it's drawing on that biblical truth. And I just love the way God has opened up. I mean, I know the story of Joshua, I know it well, but it's just come alive for me in recent days. And that we actually need to be strong and courageous if we're stepping into things that we've never done before, whether that's in our churches and all over the nation, as kingdom people, that we need to actually draw strength, and that the Lord is saying, be strong and courageous. I'm with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I've called you to this. Because the fear's real.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And what does sharing your fears with other people look like in life, in terms of how does that look like for you on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, whatever?
Yeah, because this feels very vulnerable, doesn't it, sharing your fears? And we're just kind of chatting offline when you guys were all chatting about, should you do this with your congregation? but I think you need to have people within the church family, and you need to have people outside. And for myself, I've been blessed that I've got a wide network of folks that are a little bit further on in the faith, a little bit further on in the leadership journey, and they've been there for me. And just to be able to go to them, and I've really appreciated that they've come from wide and different streams from me, and they're not afraid to ask me the difficult questions. But also, I'm not afraid to say, I need some help. So sending a text, or can I meet you for a coffee? Can we talk? And the other thing in my own life, as well as being a pastor, I'm also a counsellor. So, and I have benefited from this in pastoral ministry as well, supervision, where you go to in a one-on-one and you actually have somebody who is dealing with you on a professional basis and looking at that whole shadow side and your strengths and your weaknesses. And what's going on for you, Pam, as you're dealing with this? And that not just being a friend, but another professional person who can come alongside you. So I found that hugely beneficial.
That's really helpful, yeah. I think it's just encouraging every leader to have at least one or two, or ideally more people that you can just say those words, I'm finding this really hard.
Help.
Yeah, I'm finding this really, because actually even just speaking those words out can be just such a release, because in Christian leadership, obviously, sometimes we feel like we just don't have permission to say that we're supposed to be either the Zen-like, just walking on water the whole time, or we're just so constantly invested in other people's lives that we're not allowed to have space to actually feel anything. We've either got to be Zen-like or we've got to be robotic, but actually just saying, I find this really hard, I'm really scared about this, can I just share a little bit about
it? Yeah.
And I think sometimes letting other people speak truth to us is just a powerful way that God's Spirit gets beneath the kind of skin of our lives. I can read the words myself, but it's when someone else says, do you not realize that Jesus' perfect love can cast out your fear? Or even something that you know, that might sound almost like kind of trivial to me, you know, sometimes you've just got to feel the fear and do it anyway. It sounds like an aphorism, but when a close friend gives you a piece of wisdom, it can be a real gift from God, I think.
Thanks very much, guys. We're going to have the final little section of just talking amongst ourselves. So the question is, how do you address your fears? And I just want to encourage you guys to be honest. If the answer is, I don't do it, I don't know, just say. And if somebody shares that with you, do not go, oh, that's terrible. Just nod and smile and say, that's okay. Because, you know, if we all come up with clever answers of how we'd like to do it, we're not going to acknowledge some of the fear that's in the room, and we're not going to be able to let God speak into it. So let's do that just for a few minutes, and then we'll lead into a bit of feedback.
In the middle of it, just lean that way.
Fantastic. Thanks for doing that. I'm sure we could share wisdom between ourselves for a lot longer. Just wonder if, just for the final time, we could just have some people share just some of their learning, some of the ways that they have learned to address their fears, so we can just learn together a little bit in the room. Yeah, go for it.
I think one of the things is that,
so just acknowledging what's happened in the past so you can move on and press on with what God's got for you next. Yeah, humbly acknowledging, yeah. Fantastic, thank you so much. Anybody else? Yep, so standing on previous successes as well. Yeah, fantastic, yeah. Fantastic, thanks so much for sharing that. If you couldn't hear, how do I summarise that? Basically, an amazing example of wanting to do something but just not knowing if it's the right thing. Exactly what we were talking about from Psalm 73, just feeling right on the cusp of breakthrough but also not knowing. And basically, an incredible example of taking it to God in prayer and asking God to speak into the situation, really. And also just remembering how God's made you and what you're passionate about and actually standing upon on that as well. Mm. Yeah, fantastic. One more person want to share? Yeah, go for it.
We have ministry scholarship once a month, and you've got the best foot forward at these things. to me, this session has been exhilarating to hear my fears on other leaders' lips. I'm kind of determined that I'm going to prepare.
Brilliant. Fantastic. So, bringing everyone else with you in your existential misery. No, I appreciate that so much. And that's exactly what we're trying to model from the front, really, is just talking about
existential
it
misery.
And actually getting it out in the open. So I'm being silly, but yeah. I'm going to hand over to you, Martin.
Thank you, Thomas. We put this question, what's the one thing that God's saying to you about leadership fears?
There's been all kinds of conversation and chat and ideas around, but it would be great if there's just something that you can identify that God has spoken to you about or given you or helped you with, drawing your attention to while we've been together. And I'm going to lead us in a simple time of prayer in which we're just going to think about confession, courage, and consistency. And then we'll have a few more moments where we, together as the three of us, get a chance to pray with you and over you. So let's pray together. First of all, confession. This might not be confession of sin. It's confessing the truth about ourselves to God our Father. Is there one thing you want to say to God our Father about your leadership fears? Do that in your heart now. Courage. That's God's gift to us so that we're not defeated by our fears. Is the one context in which you want to ask God to give you courage? Tell him about that now. Consistency. That's the things that we keep doing. Is there something you recognize God saying, keep doing this, consistently do this, so that fear won't spoil your leadership? Listen for his voice now.
I just invite you to stand just in that attitude of prayer. We're just going to continue for a moment or two. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I just invite you to just stretch out your hands to the Lord. Father, I just thank you so much for the men and the women in this room, whom you have called by name and called to leadership. And in the amazing and wonderful and all-powerful name of Jesus, we ask that you would break off of our lives all fear of man or woman, which is proven to be a snare.
Yeah.
And as you do that, Holy Spirit, and we think about these situations and relationships and leadership contexts to which we belong, we know and we choose again today to trust in the Lord and to only fear the Lord, to come out of the fear of man, the fear of offending others, the fear of hurting others, the fear of pursuing God, your plans, and upsetting others in our church families. Lord, none of us want to do that. So we come out today from that fear and we trust in you. And that scripture says, Lord, and we say this to you today, that we will then be kept safe. And we declare the safety of the Lord God Almighty over each one of you as you seek to lead. And the plans and the purposes that the Lord has for your church and the extension of his kingdom. Holy Spirit, just come. Fill each of us afresh. Anoint us afresh for leadership. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Just keep receiving. Thank you, Lord. And I just... all three of us actually in preparation for this seminar had that sense that Martin was saying about pressing on, and I just heard the words, keep going. Keep going. And some of us, like myself, who are maybe doing something and you've not been this way before, the Lord especially wants to pour out courage and strength and to gift you with that today. Yeah.
And I think maybe some of us who fear other people and what they think of us just need to hear Jesus' words, woe to you when all people speak well of you. Actually, sometimes it's important to be unpopular.
Yeah, I want to pray for just those of us who feel like we've been wearing a mask for a long, long time. And we've not really been able to be ourselves before you, even God. Even when we think we've been, or we've been trying to be in that place where deep cries out to deep, that we know that there's more, and it's painful, and it's a dangerous prayer to pray. But maybe you want to pray that prayer with us, that's just strip everything back, God. You see me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But you also see every aspect of me, God. You see my best intentions, and you see my worst moments as well. Yeah. And you've chosen to call me out as a leader who makes disciples.
Thank you, Jesus.
And who shares my life with other people and leads people towards Jesus in my brokenness.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, that you are the God who sees us. And you don't love us any less because you see the whole of us. You love us ferociously. And also, you're looking to redeem us. You're not finished with us.
You
want to build your love back into us so you can restore the parts of us that have been broken for such a long time. And thank you, Lord, that you use places of hurt, places of suffering from the past to often speak into other people's lives as well. And so God, use us powerfully at the right time when you've called us to speak and be bold and to be vulnerable and share what we've been through as well with those around us. Thank you for our brother who shared about looking to take this, what we've modeled to the pastors next week that he hangs out with. We pray for a breakthrough, and we pray for just such a strong love in that group and all of the churches and the small groups that we have. We pray for a healthy vulnerability that your Holy Spirit builds complete freedom and amazing love in.
Thank you,
Father. Yes, thank you. Amen. Thank you so much for coming, and I think you're released now for dinner. And 7 o'clock?
Yep.
7 o'clock for our final session.
Great.